You would please find your Bibles, the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 9. And we'll begin our reading in the 51st verse. Read down through verse 56. Luke says that it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. And they did not receive him, because he was journeying with his face toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. This is a story in the life of Jesus that I think many of you would be familiar with. It's always been an intriguing story to me. One of my favorite characters in the Gospels is the Apostle John. And he figures rather prominently in this event as Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and they they make their way to a Samaritan village, as the text has described to us. The villagers are not receptive and of Jesus because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. And those of you that have studied the Bible for some time are aware of the animosity that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. And because the I think a lot of times we think in terms of particularly the animosity of the Jews towards the Samaritans, and perhaps sometimes we tend to lose sight of the fact that that was a two-way street, and this story, it demonstrates that there was as much hatred by the Samaritans of the Jews as there was by the Jews of the Samaritans. And these villagers are unwilling to accept Jesus and his disciples because they're going to Jerusalem. They're traveling toward Jerusalem. And so they're not welcomed in this village. But we do see the other side of the coin here, don't we? In James and John. And how that feeling of animosity existed from the Jews as well. And James and John want to know, "Well, Lord, don't you want us to just call down fire and let us nuke this place? And that'll teach them a lesson." And of course, Jesus' response was that you just don't know what spirit you're of. He says, basically, what Jesus is saying here is, you haven't learned yet what you ought to be. And all the time that you've spent with me, it hasn't sunk into you yet what you ought to be, what kind of person you ought to be. He said, "I didn't come here to destroy the lives of men. I came here to save the lives of men." John and his brother James don't come off real well in this story. But I want you to see a different man, because I do believe John became a different man. I believe he learned what Jesus said he had not learned up to that point in time. I believe John learned what spirit he was of. What he was to be, what he was to become. And it seems to me that there is a revelation of this over in the third letter that John wrote. In 3 John, there are a number of qualities that John alludes to that demonstrate he became a different man. In 3 John, and beginning in verse 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius. John's changed. And in this regard, he's an old man now. He refers to himself as the elder here. I'm inclined to think that he's referring to his age. There's been, from the time when the story that we read about in Luke chapter 9, from that time until the time that John writes this letter, there's been half a century to pass. And so he addresses himself as the elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. That's a different man. That's a different man from the fellow who wanted to call down fire and obliterate everyone in a village simply because they would not receive Jesus into their village. This is a different man. But 50 years should make a different man. May I ask you this? Those of you that are older, that make up the aged ones in this congregation, has 50 years made a difference? Are you a different man, a different woman than you were 50 years ago? Have you learned over the past half century what spirit you are of? I'd like for us to look at John, the older man, and consider what we can glean from what he says in these four verses about himself. And what we can come to appreciate that changed in his life, and what we need to appreciate should be changing in our lives. John is a man who, in 3 John, appears to be a man of what I would say is a man of balance. He was anything but a balanced man in those early years, and back in the gospel account. He was a firebrand, no pun intended. But he, as well as his brother James, appeared to have been, well, they were given nicknames by the Lord. They were called the Sons of Thunder. And it seems to demonstrate a person who was, in many ways, out of control. We talk about Peter being impetuous a lot of times. Well, there was some impetuousness demonstrated by John here in Luke, the 9th chapter. But now, years of maturity have occurred. When we read this letter that he writes, he refers to himself, as I said, as the elder, which speaks of his maturity. Notice what he says as he addresses the letter to a man named Gaius. He says that he's writing this to the beloved Gaius. What a difference there is between John from Luke chapter 9 and John in 3 John. In Luke chapter 9, do you get the impression that there is love in this man's heart? Certainly not for those Samaritans. He was ready to burn them alive. But for Gaius now, 50 years later, he would express his love. It is the beloved Gaius that he writes to. So John was a man of love. But he's also a man of truth. Truth has become a vital interest in the life of this man. He says, he's writing to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. If you want to live a balanced life, then you need to be a person who is balanced in your appreciation for love and truth. If you have all love and no truth, it's going to produce a sentimentality. If you have all truth and no love, it's going to produce a cold legalism in your life. But John had an appreciation for both the love that he had for Gaius and for truth. He wrote of John wrote of Jesus in John chapter 1, stating that he came full of grace and truth. Our Lord demonstrated a perfect balance between love, having love for people, and truth. And John grew to have that same balance. May have taken him 50 years to get it, but he got it. And so must we. Any person who has more of one and less of the other misrepresents Jesus. I want you to think about that again. Any person who has more of one and less of the other misrepresents Jesus. Jesus was one who had love and truth. John was not only a man of love and not only a man of truth, but John was also a man of prayer. As you notice in verse 2 of his letter, he says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health." Again, I suggest to you, think of what a contrast between this man and the man we read about in Luke chapter 9. Was the man in Luke chapter 9 wanting to pray for anybody? No. He was wanting to destroy lives. But this man now, some 50 years later, is a man who says, "Beloved, I pray for you." He prays specifically for Gaius. John was a man of prayer. He was a man who believed in prayer. May I ask you this? Have the last 50 years affected any kind of change in your attitude about prayer? Do you pray any differently now than you did some 50 years ago? John prays that in all respects you may prosper in good health, just as your soul prospers. You know, there again we see such a dramatic difference between this man and that man that we read about in Luke. This man is a praying man. And this man's prayer is for his friend that he would prosper, that he would be in good health. What a different interest there is in the heart of this man. He's looking out for, he's longing for the good health, the prosperity, the soul's improvement. He's not looking for fire from heaven to destroy a village anymore. He's a man of prayer. Notice also, he's a man of joy. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, I was very... Man, this is a man, as I said, who is a man of joy, who rejoices over the fact that people were choosing the truth, and people were choosing to live by the truth and to walk in the truth. And John found great joy in that. What a difference that is from the man that we read about back in Luke chapter 9. This is a man who's also devoted to the winning of souls. Again, quite a difference from the man who was devoted back in Luke chapter 9 to the destruction of the lives of people. What does this man want to do? 50 years later, he wants to save souls. Verse 4, as we read, I have no greater joy than this to hear of my children walking in the truth. He speaks of his children, his spiritual children, those that he has won to the Lord by virtue of the truth of the Lord. He indicates that Gaius and others had been taught the truth by John. He was a man who had a major impact on the life of Gaius and these others. He's a man who has a major interest in the life of Gaius and in the lives of these others. May I ask you this? Has 50 years impacted your life in any way about how you look at the salvation of other people's souls? Are you any more now a person who is finding joy in the lives of men and women who turn their lives over to the truth? Does that move you more now than it did 50 years ago? Are you seeking to help people find the truth? I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. Do you have a greater joy than hearing about people who are walking in the truth? Has the past 50 years affected any change in your attitude towards such things? I'll tell you what John did with the 50 years that he got. He became a better person because he became a person who became a man of prayer, became a man of love, because he became a man who came to appreciate truth. He's a man who came to seek the salvation of souls. He became a better man in those 50 years. He became a man who learned what spirit he was of. He became a well-balanced man in his life. You know how he did it? You know, I think a lot of times we think that righteousness and approval with God just jumps on us. It just happens. It's an automatic sort of thing. And it's anything but. John became this different person over the course of 5 decades because he worked at it. He worked at it. Exercise yourself to godliness, Paul wrote to Timothy. Godliness doesn't just happen. It's something that we work at developing in our lives. And if we are blessed to have 5 decades of life to work at it, then it ought to produce some pretty significant differences in that life. Do you know what spirit you are of? If you're not following Christ and not living for Him, you are not of His spirit. Now, some people can be following Christ and still not be of His spirit. That's exactly what John and James were guilty of. They had been following Him, but still hadn't learned what kind of people they should have become. So it may be that for the past 50 years, you have been following Christ, but you haven't developed any of these qualities. And you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. May I urge you to do this? With whatever amount of time you have left, you learn the kind of spirit that you are of. You develop the kind of qualities that John developed. And you become the kind of person that you ought to have been all these years. But if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you never have begun to follow Him, then that's where you need to begin. You'll never learn the kind of spirit that you ought to be of until you first obey the Lord and begin to follow Him. If you've never obeyed that gospel and you understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that He has come to this world to be the Savior of men and women, and that those who will repent of their sins can receive the forgiveness of their sins by virtue of their being baptized, having their sins washed away. If that's your desire, then we are prepared today to help you in every way that we can to give that obedience to the Lord, and pray that you'd do so while we stand and sing.